Assalamu alaikum. Thank you, Imam Muhammad, for allowing us to have this opportunity with you. It is really great. Is the mic on? Oh, okay. Okay. Okay, I will. Okay. My question, I'm kind of following on what Jessica had originally asked regarding her being the only sister on the Majlis board, and you'd also spoken about there being two women to one male. I'd like for you to kind of elaborate on that for us, because I can understand the sister's feelings and, you know, being in that situation, and what does that mean as we strive to apply this deen in our daily endeavors, and how does that, you know, relate with her situation? My question is, as ummis and, you know, striving to do fisabil Allah, and that's a challenge given the male's dominance of understanding or wherever he is. And so often as ummis, we see things that happen, and because our real desire is to please Allah and to bring about a truly community life that will be enhancing for us all. How do we as ummis, when we see what should happen in the instance when we are given an opportunity, which is rare, to have an audience or a group setting where we can express ourselves and be heard, and there are some infractions occur during the process, how does one go about correcting that? Because I hear it, the theme now as we're moving forward, to forgive and to move on. How do we, what happens when an infraction occurs in the past? And is it not to be corrected or just to be accepted and to go on? Or is there some type of reparation on the part of the aggressor to ask for forgiveness, or we just forgive without any kind of asking for forgiveness?
This sister just took the claw hammer and took the nails out of a board that was on a window and light wasn't coming in. Somebody had boarded the window up for about 1,400 years. And she took a claw hammer and took the nails out of that board. Now the sun is shining in. Let me address your first question. That was your first comment, and that was about the sister being the only sister on the Majlis. Sisters, in the new light that I have on this issue, provided by the question that was just asked, you all stand on firm ground to ask that you have two females to every male on the count. You have to be consistent. If they're going to use it to keep you down, then they have to use it to bring you, to let you go up too. Yeah, your representation has to be 2-1. It must be consistent all the way through. Two female witnesses in the court to every male. Two females on the council to every male. You see how wise Muhammad was? He knew it would come to this. Now, the rest of your question, it faded away in that powerful light.
Assalamu alaikum. Imam Wardi Muhammad,
First, I'd like to take this opportunity to thank Allah for your presence in our lives, particularly in my family's life. And I'd like to also thank you for being present. And may Allah grant you with long life and good health. My question to you is, I'm a printer, and I've been asked by the youth group MOA to help do a fundraiser. What has come to mind is doing magnets for the refrigerator. One of the things that came up was saying, can we do the magnet, I can't stop now. As a printer, I know we can do that, but they asked to add your name to that, and I know I cannot do that without your permission. So I'm asking for your permission and whatever else is connected to that.
Well, you have my permission, but I think that statement doesn't necessarily have to carry my name all the time to say that's a quote from me. I would like to see that statement become our statement, not just my statement. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum. Okay, Imam Muhammad, I have a concern and a question that maybe you can answer. I have a problem with women a little older than me and my age now, stating, Muslim women in the African American community, stating that I have to work outside of the home. I don't have a choice. So I think that this is causing problems in our homes and societies and in ourselves. So what, if there is any, so far as the Quran is concerned, or what do you recommend from your interpretation, can women do to help men or encourage men to take their full responsibilities as maintainers and providers of women so that women can take on their primary responsibilities as mothers of the family and the community?
Yes. That's a real serious concern, and really more for the males, African-American males, than for the females, because really it's helping the females, in my opinion. This new freedom and acceptance of so-called equality of the sexes is helping the females at a time when our males seem to have lost their natural spirit and instinct for making progress for the society. They seem to have forgotten the society, that they should be concerned for the whole community, for the whole family, for the whole neighborhood, for the whole community. They seem to have been forgotten that. These distractions of sex. I wrote a poem, I hope I can give it to you all one day. I call it Sonny Phony. Sonny Phony. And I say, Sonny Phony, your world has grown too bony. And I'll give you the rest of that poem one day, I hope. Yeah, so these distractions have really taken our males from the productive life that God wants them to be in. And it seems to be the will of God, I think, not just the doings of society, but I think it's the will of God that this time, bad time for our males, favor the females coming back into your rights, because you haven't had your rights. So it's a good thing, I think, on the whole, but that doesn't excuse our males. So sister, I tell the males when I'm talking to them that you're just giving up, and you're letting the women show you up. You're letting them do everything, and this really is eliminating you. You're being eliminated. So I tell them that, and it's serious. It's very serious. Our males are being eliminated, and we need our males to wake up to male responsibility and not to hold a sister responsible for doing what you know God made you for. God made you to go out and work and to bring money into the house. You know God made you for that. So if you don't do that, then you're really disrespecting your female, your mother, your sisters, all females, and you are making yourself a sissy. And I don't care, you know, don't think sissies don't look like he-men. I was in prison, and there was a sissy who had better physique, bigger muscles than every male in that facility. But he was a stone freak. He was a sissy. He was a homosexual. So these boys out there with all those muscles showing their chests, if they're letting you take care of them and the children, they are nothing but sissies. They're not the men God made, that's for sure. They're not the males or the men that God made, and that's for sure.
Assalamu alaikum, Imam Muhammad. I'd like to thank you very much for your presence today and your leadership in our community. I'm going to ask a question of grave concern, and it's pertaining to children, the well-being of children, and the safety of children. Unfortunately, in some of our Islamic communities, and this is across the board, but it's happening within the MAS, we're having children who are violated. They're sexually violated, they're being neglected, they're being physically abused. And I'd like to know your view and your recommendation to imams on how to handle these situations when they're brought forth to them in the communities.
Well, I think, sister, you are capable of handling the question yourself, but you want me to address it or speak to it. What we have to be aware of is that as the world grows more crowded, and science have experimented with crowding on animals and how crowding can bring out the destructive forces in the animal or in human beings, and how it can also kill productive forces in animals and human beings. The world is getting to be more and more crowded. Crowding is a problem that's not going to go away unless Allah cause something to happen to remove it as a problem. So it's going to be more crowded. It's going to get more crowded, more crowded, more crowded. And I'm sure they're going to find ways to make life still livable in spite of the crowding. You're still going to have a good life. But the soul, spirituality, emotional nature, all of this is going to be taxed more and more. Going to be taxed more and more. It's going to be more difficult to keep your soul, to keep your own soul, to keep your own mind in a normal state. It's going to become more and more difficult. So my concern is that these males that's increasingly abusing children, and don't think that the only abuse is sexual abuse or being too heavy-handed and battering your children up. Don't think that's the only abuse. When they support youngsters being in crime and in street gangs, you have old men out there with children supporting them in that. That's abuse by them too. They're abusing our children. What we have to know is that many of these men that are molesting, battering the children, they themselves are children in their minds, children in their social development. They are not developed, they are immature. They themselves need a lot of help. So I'm not saying don't spare the rod or spare justice for these males, but also be aware that we need to treat the whole male species as a child that's becoming more and more a child as time goes on. And I think you'll do a lot of good. Is that it? Is that it? That's the last one? May I have one word to close out?
Oh, you can have
yes. I didn't want to leave without coming back to something that I was saying there. And Imam Pleeman, as we were walking out, he made some comments. And he was thanking me for how I dealt with the rib in the Bible, the rib of the man. That woman was made from the rib of the man. And I couldn't just stop there. You know, the Christian preachers, they also use a statement in the Bible that woman was made to be man's helpmate. Helpmate. H-E-L-P-M-A-T-E. But also in this Bible, another expression is used too. Help meet. H-E-L-P-M-E-E-T. Help meet. If you remember what I said about the female and how I tied it in with the chapter about the soul returning to his Lord, so really, that's our destination, isn't it? And help meet means the woman was made to help man reach his destination. Now, if we see the breathing, the breath of life, if we see that as a spirit, man is called the spirit, more so than a female spirit. And Jesus Christ was a spirit from his Lord. A spirit from his Lord. A word and a spirit from his Lord. A sign and a spirit from his Lord. Ruach from his Lord. And God breathed into man his spirit, and he became a living soul. This is spirit. I'm on spirit now. On spirit now. Breathed into man his spirit, and he became a living soul. So he already had a spirit, didn't he? He had a spirit, but he was lacking the spirit of God. So God breathed into him his spirit, and he became a living soul. Not just a living man, but a living soul. Now, if we can see this breath under behind the rib, or inside the rib, as the spirit, too. Not just breath of life, but as the spirit. You know, Allah says of Muhammad, and we shall expand your breasts. It means his chest. It means rib cage. We shall expand your breasts. And it's symbolic of making his compassion bigger so he can receive the whole humanity into his own compassion. That's what it's symbolic of, expanding his ribs. Now, if the female then is this rib, which I've also identified with a certain logic, she's this rib and she's responding to the breath, then that tells me that female is needed to work with even the Spirit of God in man, to assist the Spirit of God so that it has the support from the rib to open, to receive more and come back in, to push out to the world again, in from God, out to the world. Yes. So she is needed to work with even the spirit of man so that the whole life will return to God and get where God created it to go. This is beautiful. Yes. And you know what I heard one preacher say, sister, as I'm getting ready to go from here. One preacher said, God made woman from the rib of man, so you always be hugging her, right under your arms.
Assalamu alaikum. Okay, we have truly been blessed with the message today. At this time, we're going to conclude our sister's portion of the Call in 100 Believing Women. On behalf of the International Coalition of Muslim Women, we thank each and every one of you for coming out and supporting this event. Now, we call 100 Believing Women this year. Inshallah, next year we'll call 1,000 Believing Women. And we'll have to do it bigger and better. And we'll continue until we've called all the Believing Women. Before we close, and I would be remiss if I did not acknowledge our members, the ladies of the train, will all the members of the International Coalition of Muslim Women please stand? These are the women who move the wheels of the train across the country in our chapters. Not all of them are in attendance, but some of them were not able to be with us, but they have traveled long and far to be with us so that we can honor and acknowledge their works properly. And it was no greater present for them than also have Imam Muhammad here to celebrate with them this weekend. So we do thank him for that as well. Now I am going to dismiss the International Coalition of Muslim Women. To the right, please follow the conductor, Sister Amina. And I'm going to ask you, our guests, to please, when you stand up, please pick up the things that are in front of you so that you will help us get ready to prepare for the brothers this evening. Imam Muhammad will be addressing them, and we want to be able to move quickly and transform this room into their garden as they have their Southern feast this evening.